I am not ashamed of the gospel, the good news, ha evangelion, ha besora, whatever language you want to say it. I'm not ashamed of this good news because it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile. Those wonderful words of Rabbi Paul in Romans chapter 1, verse 16. That's how you know that you've tuned in to Jesus Made Me Kosher. And we're so delighted to come to you every weekday at the same time. Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. And we'd love to have you take advantage of the many resources there. We want to let you know that we're coming to you live today from the studios of Faith Talk 1500 and also live via Skype from the studios of Congregation Shema Yisrael and also live by telephone from I'm not sure where. But Rabbi Lauren, we've got a really great show lined up today.
We do, Rabbi Glenn. We're talking about six things to tell a Jewish person. And here's the thing, Rabbi Glenn. We are ambassadors of another kingdom, a very real and eternal kingdom. We are the representatives of the living God, the three-in-one God of Israel, this great king. And we have a mission to accomplish. You know, Rabbi Glenn, it's very rare for God or angels to come from heaven to communicate to human beings. It's possible, but that's pretty much our responsibility. God has entrusted us with the Messiah's mission to seek and teach and help save the lost. So to help us today is David Brickner. He's the executive director of this wonderful worldwide ministry to the Jewish people called Jews for Jesus. And between the three of us, Rabbi Glenn, we're going to talk about six things that are really important to tell a Jewish person. You're going to give two, I'm going to give two, and David's going to give two. So, David, we also want to welcome you to Jesus Made Me Kosher today.
Well, thanks, and shalom to the Rabbanut.
Great to have you with us, David.
Good to be with you.
All right, so I'm going to start with six things that we feel is most important to communicate to a Jewish person. Again, we're God's shlichim, his emissaries, his ambassadors, his representatives. This is what I think God would want us to tell a Jewish person, and it applies, this one, to everybody else. And that is, we must understand, human beings must understand, that the whole world is going to hell, including you. We must understand the reality of the fall, the absolute disaster that took place in the Garden of Eden, that catastrophe. We must understand this, some theologians call the doctrine of total depravity, that sin has impacted every aspect of who we are, body, soul, spirit, our relationship to God, our future destiny. We are sinners in desperate need of a Savior. We must tell people the reality of sin, the reality of hell. We must tell them the bad news as well as the good news. Rabbi Glenn, your response.
I think that's exactly right. And I would say that this falls under the category of faithful are the wounds of a friend, but deceitful are the kisses of an enemy. You know, better somebody should tell you the truth, even if it's a hard truth, than to just tell you pleasantries and let you go on heading towards that cliff.
Dave, what do you think? What's your response? The whole world is going to hell, including the Jewish people. We are not close to God. We're not in a right relationship to God. Your response, Dave?
I think that's pretty self-evident from looking around the world that we're living in. I mean, what is the explanation for the problems that this society faces at every level? There's certainly something wrong, and that statement really is a biblical diagnosis of what's gone wrong in our universe.
Okay, so my first thing to tell a Jewish person, the whole world is going to hell, including you. And we don't want to be embarrassed by the bad news or be embarrassed by the doctrines of hell and sin and total depravity. Dave, next one to you.
Yes, well, actually, we had a show about this very thing recently, Rabbi Lauren, and it comes right out of Jesus' question himself to his disciples, basically drawing attention by asking a question. He said, "Who do men say that I am?" And the disciples responded, and this is in Matthew 16, by the way, and gave the opinions of various people in the day. Who they thought Jesus was. Some said John the Baptist, others said Elijah, others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. And then he narrowed it down, and this is the point. He said, "But who do you say that I am?" And I think that the question, who is Jesus, is the best way to engage in a conversation with anyone, really, but a particularly Jewish person. And if you're listening and you want to know how to do this, you can start in a similar fashion by saying to your Jewish friend, "Hey, have the Jewish people changed their thinking with regard to the person of Jesus? What's the common attitude that Jewish people have these days about Jesus?" And it's a little bit less pointed to bring it from there to the personal. Then you can say, "Okay, but you, who do you think Jesus is?" And then be prepared to engage with the various answers that you might give and agree with what you can agree with, and then go on and point out the more important truths of who Jesus said he is, the Messiah, even as Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God."
Rabbi Glenn, your response to David, this is not so much a statement, but a question. Who do you think Jesus is?
It really is the $64,000 question. It really is the question upon which everything hinges. And it's the question that Yeshua himself, as David rightly told us, he asked himself. He asked the disciples around him. So it really is the key question. And in fact, it's interesting to note where he asked it, that they were at Caesarea Philippi, a place where people would confess Caesar as Lord, and he chose that of all places to ask his disciples, "Are you prepared to confess me?" And so, yes, it really is the most important question. It's a question we would ask. But I'd also like to encourage our Jesus Made Me Kosher listeners who may be under the mistaken assumption that, well, if I was Jewish, maybe I'd have more of an inroad with other Jewish people. And the fact is, it's the other way around. You, as Gentile believers in Jesus, have far much more an open door to talk to your Jewish friends and neighbors and coworkers than David or Rabbi Lauren or I ever would, because we are thought of and treated as traitors. And so really, we're the ones who don't have quite that open door. So if you're not Jewish, you love Jesus, and you want to talk to Jewish people about Jesus, you should assume that you have the advantage.
And ask them the question, who do you think Jesus is? You're listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. This is Rabbi Lauren and Rabbi Glenn, and our special guest today, David Brickner, the Executive Director of Jews for Jesus. Rabbi Glenn, we're talking about six things to tell a Jewish person. Your turn. You're up.
Okay. One of the things I would really like to say to Jewish people who are listening, and I would like to encourage our listening audience to share with their Jewish friends, is to encourage you to go against the majority. Have the courage to not just go with the flow and follow the majority. I think biblically, the case can easily be made that the majority usually can be counted on to go in the wrong direction. You don't want to just follow the majority. Scriptures, Proverbs 29:25 in particular, tells us the fear of man brings a snare. And so what we would call peer pressure is what the Bible calls the fear of man. When we're more afraid of what other people are going to think of us than what God thinks of us, that puts us in a very bad place. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 51, listen to what God says. He says, "Listen to me, you who know righteousness, a people in whose heart is my law, my instruction. Do not fear the reproach of man, nor be dismayed at their revilings." I think it's safe to say that, a Jewish person who believes in Jesus today, even though it's not quite the unknown factor that it was, say, 30, 40, 50 years ago, it's still a very unpopular thing to be a Jew and believe in Jesus Christ. But you know, we still need to have the courage of our convictions to follow the truth no matter where it leads us. And I would just encourage any Jewish person that I could talk to ask God to give you the courage to follow the truth no matter the cost.
Good, Rabbi Glenn. Dave, David Brickner, your response to Glenn's statement that we need to communicate to Jewish people that they have to muster up the chutzpah, the courage to go against the majority.
Yes, and in fact, one of the things to often ask a person in the challenge of this whole problem is to say something like this: if the Bible is true and Jesus is the Messiah, are you willing to find it out and believe in him despite the consequences? Are you willing to find it out and follow him regardless of what your family, your Jewish community, friends might say? And that, of course, is the big challenge, this unspoken objection that Rabbi Glenn is addressing. And the fact of the matter is that Proverbs two different times says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. And we may think that it's the right thing to follow in conformity to our own upbringing and mores, but we have to challenge that by the Word of God and remember that when it comes to choosing between our friends and family and God, the priority should always be God first.
Hey, you know, I really like Jan Moskowitz's approach. We've interviewed him on Jesus Made Me Kosher. I think our listeners are well familiar with him. You know, I've heard him, David, at times say to a Jewish person, look, I don't think you're up to this. I'm not sure you're up to the challenge of believing something that's unpopular and not caring about what people are going to think of you. And, you know, maybe you're not a great candidate for this. I don't know. Are you up to it? And I'll say, I am, so I can handle this.
Yeah, my response is I agree with both of you that, you know, the problem so much among our Jewish people is not people are heavily committed to a certain theology. Most Jewish people are theology light. What really prevents more Jewish people from believing in Yeshua or even investigating is the fear of what the majority is going to say and rejection. But to be a real Jewish person, we look to Abraham, the first Jew, and he was willing to go, you know, offer up his son and to leave his family in order to follow God. And if we're going to be really Jewish, we need to follow the courageous, faithful example of Father Abraham.
Outstanding point, Rabbi Lorne. Outstanding. He really is the model to follow. Well, David, you're up next. What would be the next thing you would like to be able to tell to a Jewish person?
Well, let me just tell you a story. I once had the opportunity to talk on the streets with a Jewish philosophy professor from the University of California in Berkeley. And I have to say initially that my self-pride was a little piqued that I was going toe-to-toe with this guy. And he was raging against my views and, you know, belittling them. And all of a sudden, I think it was the Holy Spirit that spoke to me and said, David, just give him the gospel. And I was able to say, before we go any further in our philosophical discussion, can I just share with you what it is that I actually believe? It'll only take me a few minutes. And he said, sure, go ahead. And so I did. And I have to tell you, the whole tenor of the conversation changed. He began to cry, and he told me that his wife was leaving him, that he was destitute. I mean, it opened up a whole measure of conversation that, under philosophical argumentation, we hadn't even gotten close to. And what did I tell him? I told him the essence of the gospel. That is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. And we get this from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 and following. Paul said, now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel. So if you want to know what the gospel is, you're right there. Which I preach to you, which you also received, and which you also stand by, which you also are saved, if you hold fast the word which I preach to you. For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, and here it is, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, number one, that he was buried, and that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. This is the gospel. Jesus died for our sins. He was buried. He rose again from the grave. And when we put our faith and trust in his finished work, we can have forgiveness for all of our sins, past, present, and future. And when someone hears that, it is always going to be the Holy Spirit that will enlighten their minds and hearts to receive it. But that, brothers and sisters who are listening, that is the power of God right there. That is what changes people's lives. That is what we so long to share with Jewish people and with everyone.
Rabbi Lauren, your response?
That's great, Dave. And of course, you're right. The gospel, the good news, is still so powerful and unleashes the power of God to save and redeem and heal and deliver. It's still as relevant now as it was 2,000 years ago when Messiah was first declaring it. And it's relevant for Jews and it's relevant for Gentiles. So, yes, this is absolutely what we need to communicate. We need to hear the good news more about economics or politics or, you know, anything else.
Okay, well, Rabbi Lauren, you're up next. What's the next thing you would really like to share with Jewish people?
Well, the thing that I find so important, Rabbi Glenn, is that we need to communicate that Yeshua, Jesus, is the most Jewish of Jews, and becoming loyal to him is the most Jewish thing a Jewish person can do. You know, for too long, Jesus and Christianity have been detached from the Jewish roots of the Christian faith. But Jesus is, you know, he's the Jewish Messiah. He's the fulfillment of these Jewish prophecies. He, you know, when he came into this world, he came into the Jewish people and a wonderful Jewish family. In fact, he's a direct descendant of King David. And he's, you know, he lived as a Jew, he died as a Jew, and he even rose again as a Jew. He's the King of the Jews and the Savior of the world. So, you know, Jewish people often will not come to Jesus or are afraid to even consider him because they're told that believing in Jesus is not Jewish, but the exact opposite is true. And if we're going to effectively communicate to Jewish people, we need to be saying things that Jesus is the most Jewish of Jews and becoming loyal to him is the most Jewish thing any Jewish person can do.
Well said. David, let me ask you this. Would you say in your experience, speaking in front of many churches and interfacing with a lot of Christians across the nation, that there is more of that awareness among Christians that the Jewishness of the gospel and that this is a very good way to let people, Jewish people, know that it really is a very Jewish message?
Absolutely. And we have, I think, over the past several decades, really changed the climate of understanding, not only within the church, but in the Jewish community as well, to recapture the Jewish backgrounds of the Christian faith, to reestablish the Jewish Jesus in the minds of Jews and Christians has been increasingly, a valuable aspect of our witness, of our ministry. It's been an enrichment to the church, and I'm seeing more and more. Although, you know, every time I go to a church, you know, I'll have people come up to me afterwards and say, wow, you know, I really didn't stop and think about this. So as much as I think that the message is getting out, we need to continue to hammer on this point, the Jewishness of Jesus, and that whole issue creates a climate of faith for Jewish people and a great sense of confidence in the hearts of Christians.
Well, you know, it really says something about where the movement is headed when even Rabbi Shmuley Boteach, who is certainly by no means a believer in Yeshua, writes a book called Kosher Jesus and is seeking in his way to help reclaim the Jewishness of Jesus and of the New Testament writings.
And he's an Orthodox.
Yeah, and of course he got into a lot of trouble for calling his book Kosher Jesus, even though his Jesus we wouldn't call very kosher.
Right.
Yeah, Rabbi Shmuley Boteach is an Orthodox rabbi, but is very sympathetic to these Jewish roots of Jesus. Well, Rabbi Glenn, our sixth question or statement that we want to make to a Jewish person it's up to you, Rabbi Glenn.
Okay, it's up to me. Well, here's what I've been thinking. What I would like to say to Jewish people is that, look, if God exists and he doesn't make mistakes and is just and is good, all of these things, by the way, must be true for God to be God. if God exists and he doesn't make mistakes and he is just and good, then there must be one and the same standard for Jew and Gentile. And in fact, Rabbi Lauren, the Torah itself says as much. Numbers chapter 9 and again in chapter 15, God says, if an alien sojourns among you and observes the Passover to the Lord according to the statute of the Passover and according to its ordinances, so he shall do. You shall have one statute, both for the alien and for the native of the land. As for the assembly, there shall be one statute for you and for the alien who sojourns with you, a perpetual statute throughout your generations. As you are, so shall the alien be before the Lord. There's to be one law and one ordinance for you and for the alien who sojourns with you. It's repeated frequently. And I might add, this one standard, not a double standard, is also affirmed through the prophets. Isaiah chapter 56, thus says the Lord, let not the foreigner who has joined himself to the Lord say, the Lord will surely separate me from his people. To them I will give in my house and within my walls a memorial and a name better than that of sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which will not be cut off. Even those I will bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all the peoples. You know, so therefore, Yeshua must either be the Messiah for Jew and Gentile alike, one standard, one statute, or he isn't the Messiah, period. But there can be no double standards. We can't just say, well, Jesus is okay for Gentiles, not for us Jews. It just doesn't wash, not with the Holy One of Israel.
Dave, your response?
Absolutely. And, you know, I think that people will resonate. We have such a strong sense of, justice. You know, people want, I want justice. And so I think that appeals to a postmodern sensibility, Rabbi Glenn. Very good one that people will recognize. Yeah, it's not fair to have a double standard. And therefore, that's going to create a conversation around that issue. And I think that's what we're trying to do. As we're making these statements, we're also wanting to encourage feedback, to encourage a dialogue and debate. You know, even if somebody raises a question that you don't feel competent to answer, you can always say, let me go back and think about that, and I'll get back to you with a better answer. So you're entering into a dialogue that may go beyond that initial conversation into several conversations and perhaps even a Bible study.
Excellent. Well, Rabbi Lauren, should we summarize what we've talked about today?
Yeah, I started off, we're talking about six things to tell a Jewish person. I started off by saying that the whole world, Jews and Gentiles, have missed the mark and are going to hell. And we need to understand this idea of the fall of man, the catastrophe in the Garden of Eden, the total depravity that sin has affected every human being, and that all of us, Jews and Gentiles, are in the most desperate need of a Savior.
And then David recommended that the question we really want to ask people is, who do you think Jesus is? That really is the crux of what's at stake here. And though we could talk about a lot of other things, it really is he himself is the issue. So the second one was asking the question, who do you think Jesus is? I added that another thing we would want to say is that we need to have the courage to go against the majority. We want to encourage Jewish people to have that holy chutzpah, the wherewithal, the courage to follow the truth no matter where it leads.
And then David encouraged us to to talk about the gospel, not get caught up on extraneous things, but really bring it back to the good news, this message of the coming of the Son of David, the Messiah, his incarnation, his sinless life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his ascension to the right hand of God the Father. He's a living Savior.
And then, Rabbi Lauren, you also said that we should emphasize that Jesus is the most Jewish of Jews, and to become loyal to him is a very, very authentically Jewish thing to do. And then I finished up with the idea that, you know, God doesn't have a double standard. What's true for Gentile is true for Jew. And so either Jesus is the Messiah for all, or he's not the Messiah at all. Well, friends, you've been listening to Jesus Made Me Kosher. We want to thank our dear friend David Brickner, the executive director of Jews for Jesus, for joining us today. We also want to invite you, our listeners, to come and join us. We meet every Saturday morning at 10:30 at Bloomfield Hills Baptist Church. That's tomorrow morning. Why not come and worship with us? So on behalf of Rabbi Lauren and David Brickner and me, we want to say shalom, shalom, Shabbat shalom.
Jesus Made Me Kosher is sponsored by Congregation Shema Yisrael, a community of Messianic Jews and kosher-hearted Gentiles who serve the three-in-one God of Israel. You can find us on the web at shema.com. That's S-H-E-M-A.com. If you'd like more information or have questions, you can also reach us by phone at 248-593-5150. That's 248-593-5150. To hear how Jesus can make you kosher, join us every weekday at 3:30 right here on Faith Talk 1500.